Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. As you probably know if you listen to the broadcast regularly, Paul's opening discussion in his 1 Corinthian epistle was about divisions in the church, cliques, different groups who were gathering around different personalities. Some said, I'm of Paul, others I'm of Apollos, others I'm of Cephas, and then even others, I am of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, cut it out, stop it, get rid of these divisions. Everybody needs to be in harmony. Everybody needs to be in unity. And so he dealt first of all with the problem of divisions, but that led into a discussion of baptism. And I won't try to go back and remind you as to how that grew out of the discussion about divisions, but his probing questions about the divisions to make them think raised the issue of baptism. So then he talked a little bit about that. But the passage concludes, the section that is dealing with this, concludes in verse 17 with a discussion of evangelism. And that's where we have been camping down the last two or three broadcasts, and we're going to pick it up at that point today, because the Apostle Paul says in verse 17 of chapter 1, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect." Short statement, fairly familiar statement, I think, to many Christians, but it is a very profound statement that, when examined carefully, knocks a hole in a lot of the erroneous teaching that we hear about evangelism and about baptism in our day. And so that's where we're going to pick up on this Wednesday, April 21. We're glad you are able to join us. And many thanks, many, many thanks to those whose gifts of financial help keep us teaching on this station. Well, in regard to evangelism, there are two things to keep in mind. There is man's part, and then there's God's part. And we have to understand which is which, or we're going to make matters worse, really. That's what Paul says here. There's a way to make the cross of Christ of no effect by not going about it the right way. So there is man's part, and then there's God's part. Man's part is gospel proclamation, as he tells us in verse 17. And then God's part, we're going to look at the verses that follow, quite a few verses, and there are several elements, so we'll take them up one by one. But first of all, to review, man's part, it is gospel proclamation. Paul said, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Paul's primary responsibility is to preach the gospel, not to baptize. Personally, we'll not go back into that discussion again. It's not that he was getting rid of baptism. He just didn't do it personally for reasons that he explains as he's discussing this problem of cliques and divisions around personalities. But now Paul also addresses the matter of how to communicate the gospel. When he says, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and then these words, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. not with the wisdom of words. What does that mean? Well, it basically means not with clever speech. Not human wisdom that is added to the message of the gospel in order to make it effective. But rather, and here's the contrast, a straightforward declaration of the gospel of Christ with no consideration for ways to make it impressive to unregenerate minds. Did you hear me? I think that concept would sound foreign to many Christians today, many preachers today, many evangelists today. But here's Paul telling us that when it comes to the preaching of the cross of Christ, he doesn't do it in clever speech. He doesn't add human wisdom in order to make it effective, but he just preaches the gospel straight out with no consideration for ways to make it impressive to unregenerate minds. He doesn't do that because he can't do that, and to try to do that actually impairs the preaching of the gospel and puts obstacles in the way of people hearing the gospel with divinely prepared ears and coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we try to improve on the gospel or the simple proclamation of the gospel, we make it worse, not better. How long is it going to take us to learn that? And so Paul is warning us, don't do that. Just preach the gospel without consideration for how to make it more impressive to the unregenerate mind, because if you don't stick to the simple gospel without these human techniques that people think are an improvement or at least an aid, if you don't do that, you are in danger of making the cross of Christ of no effect, making it void. You are in danger of deviating from the simple proclamation of the gospel, which will therefore weaken the gospel because you have deviated from the gospel. Yeah, that's what Paul is saying here. So what is man's part? Man's part is to preach the word. Preach it as it was given to us. Preach it as it's found in the Bible. Preach it straight out, without embellishment, without any clever human techniques of wisdom to try to somehow add effectiveness on top of the message that God gave us. You can't improve on the message that God gave us, and you can't help make it more effective than it already is. And we're talking about evangelism. And man's part in evangelism is to proclaim the gospel. Period. Got it? Proclaim the gospel clearly, accurately, straightforwardly, but with nothing added to it. Preach the gospel, period. For Christ sent me to preach the gospel. But then we come to God's part. And that takes up the next several verses. And the first thing I think that is helpful to us as we consider God's part in this work of evangelism is to understand the reason for differing results. Now, you see, the problem of trying to embellish the gospel and trying to enhance the gospel and trying to make a better showing for the gospel to make it more acceptable to unregenerate minds, the problem is that you evidently don't understand why some people believe it and some people don't. You don't understand the reason for the differing results when the gospel is proclaimed. It's not because the preacher didn't do a good job, at least not if he preached the gospel. If he preached it clearly and unequivocally, it's not because the preacher didn't do a good job. It's not because it wasn't presented in the right way, in the right setting, with the right approach, and so forth. What's the reason? Verse 18, For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. That's the explanation. Why do some not believe it? Because they are perishing. Why do some not believe it? Because it's foolishness to those who are perishing. Why do some not believe it? Because they don't have prepared hearts. They don't have prepared ears. They don't have what it takes in order to appreciate it. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us, Paul writes, himself being a born-again believer and writing to the Corinthian church made up of born-again believers, but to us who are, and this is very interesting, being saved. I thought you either were saved or were not saved. What is this being saved business? We'll get to that in a moment. But to us who are being saved, it, the message of the cross, which is foolishness to some people, it is the power of God. So the differing results that come in our efforts to evangelize are based upon two different categories of people, not upon the cleverness of the presentation. Your personality is not what makes a difference. Your clever presentation is not what makes the difference. Your putting it in a setting that's more conducive to people responding favorably is not what makes the difference. What is it? It is the work of God's Spirit in people's hearts, as we'll see as we move along in this passage. But you also note, and here we get to that phrase, being saved, note the progressive nature of salvation and damnation. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved. You've got both of those concepts are progressive, not just the salvation part. It's foolishness to those who are in the process of perishing, but to those who are in the process of being saved, it is the power of God. And so there is a progressive sense to salvation. It is true that when a person is born again, it happens at a moment of time, and when a person has been born again, they remain born again. Just like when a baby is born, it is born. It doesn't have to be, it isn't being born for the rest of its life. It doesn't have to be born again and again and again. But there is a progressive nature to that child developing into its full potential. Babies aren't born fully grown. Babies aren't born with all of their intelligence and knowledge and experience in place. No, that has to come gradually. That is progressive before the baby becomes a mature adult. And likewise, with those who trust in Christ. There is progress over time. We have been saved in one sense, we are being saved in another sense, and we shall yet be saved in a future sense. But it's the two categories of people that are in view here. You have to understand that the gospel is always going to have a negative impact upon people in one class, even as it will always, it's eventually, have a positive effect upon people in the other class. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.